Ready to go? Okay, I would like to call to order this Recreation and Park Commission meeting for the City of Morro Bay today. And I would like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to move along to roll call, please.
Commissioner Winter.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
Commissioner House.
Here.
Commissioner Munoz.
Here.
Commissioner Solu.
Here.
Chair Smith.
Here. Well, we got a full house today. That's nice. Moving on to public comment period, we'll open it up. Members of the audience wishing to address the commission on any matters other than public hearing items may do so at this time. Comments are generally limited to 3 minutes.
His battery's dead. Why don't you go stand next to Stan?
Stan? Yeah. What?
Stan. You didn't replace Stan.
Oh, yeah.
Take it out of it.
Is this?
Keith, we just want to make you as comfortable as
you're right. Good evening, Commission. My name is Keith Taylor. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and also a friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department. I'm here to encourage the boys and the girls and some really great gifts donated by the generous people of our community and those who own businesses. So I'm asking you to give us your support and to buy the tickets. They can be bought at the fire station, at community center, or you can contact me at 772-2852, and I will deliver them personally. Thank you very much.
Wow. Thank you so much, Keith. Anyone else wishing to address the commission? Okay, no one else, then we will close the public comment period. And I don't think there's any actions in regarding the public comment period. Moving on, I will seek a motion to accept the approval of the minutes for the October 13th, 2005 meeting.
I move that we approve the October 13th minutes.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is announcements. I'll turn the time over to Andrea.
I have a couple of announcements I'd like the commission and the public to be aware of. Most of you know, our department is no longer able to organize or put on the lighted boat parade or the holiday tree lighting. And I just want to bring it to the attention that the Chamber of Commerce has submitted an application to do the lighted boat parade. There are applications available. That date is December 3rd. On Saturday, so you can still all look forward to seeing the Light of Boat Parade. And it does appear that we've got a couple of individuals. Mr. Taylor, who spoke tonight, is one. Community Together. And I think that's all I've got. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. Moving along, next item is new business. Item A1, replacement of the parking lot lights at Lila Kaiser Park. And I turn the time back to Andrea.
Thank you. Good evening. As the commission is aware, Kaiser Park is one of the busiest parks in Morro Bay. It's a park that hosts numerous youth and adult sports leagues really year-round at this point. The park has been the recipient, as the commission is aware, of a number of grant funds for renovating and adding amenities. Some of the things that we've done with grant funds include new field lights, a new playground, new sports field fencing, new backstops, and a renovated restroom facility. The most current need at the park is the parking lot lights. There are 5 parking lot lights in the middle of the parking, and at this point the poles and the lights have deteriorated and they need to be replaced. Unfortunately, due to the funding situation that we find ourselves in, we're not able to do that. However, we do have because we do have some funding through the park in lieu funds. What we're recommending for the commission tonight is, or staff is actually recommending, replacement of the 5 existing poles with new 20-foot poles with one light each illuminating downward toward the parking lot. We will be able to use the existing bases for the new lights as well as the wiring for the new poles. The current lighting is tied to the sports field lighting, which is odd, and it makes it difficult. So what happens is when the sports field lights come on, part of the parking lot lights come on, and so when they're turned off, part of the lights go off. And we're going to be changing that to put these lights operating independently through a separate controller, which makes a lot of sense. What we're asking tonight is that you recommend that we use the restrictions on the funds are that they have to be used, and this is a quote from the Muni Code, be used for a local facility which bears a reasonable relationship to serve the present and future recreation needs of the residents of the subdivision. And what we're looking at for the park in Lufies is because Kaiser Park is the only park with softball fields and large sports fields, we feel that that meets the needs of all the there are the only fields in town, so we feel like money raised from any subdivision is certainly this is a good place to spend, and it certainly meets that requirement. You may remember that in the past we've used park and lieu funding for the relighting of Kaiser East softball field. So tonight what we're hoping for you to do is recommend using up to $13,000 of park and lieu funds, and then we will be taking this to the City Council for final approval and moving forward on that project. I'm happy to answer questions that you might have.
Any questions for Andrea? Comments? Discussion?
Just curious, how much do we have in park and lieu funds?
Interestingly enough, we had upwards of $90,000, and we used a large percentage of that for the skate park renovation. We have now, I believe, about $14,000, so this is going to be the end of those funds. We have a couple of subdivisions pending in Morro Bay that appears will be donating to the fund, but at this point, this will pretty much exhaust what we have.
And how do they... It's by square foot, right? Is it by square foot?
The amount of funding. It's actually based on type of home that's being built, and there's a equation that we work through, but it is on type of home and then a number of parcels.
The 1,000 that's left, and with the in lieu of funds coming hopefully soon, if you know, you feel that that's going to be adequate in case anything comes up that we may need something for?
I think so. This is a situation where, and I think we're going to be seeing this as we go along, especially if the budget situation continues as it is that we just have things, we have parks that are wearing out, certain parts are wearing out, and we feel like because this park is so busy, it's used a lot at night, the parking lot lights are really a safety issue at this point. So I think that even if we wanted to or thought that we had a neater project to work on, this is a really important project. So we feel like this is a good use for these funds.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, John.
I had my husband drive me out there on Tuesday night so that we could check it out. And when we came around the corner to turn down the strip that takes you past the old Flippo's building, it was pitch black. We got into the parking lot, and I said, turn your lights off, and we'll sit here. My kids were in the car, and they said, it's dark out here. You can't even see. You couldn't, except for the moonlight, see the top of the barbecue area. If there was somebody coming from the bushes or sleeping there, or heaven forbid it was nighttime and there were no lights on and you backed over a child, it is really a safety situation. The only light that was coming out of the park was from the restroom skylights and also the peripheral lighting that we were getting from Motel 6 was lighting the very, I want to say it would be the north.
Thank you, Joan. Any other comments? Then I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to forward the report to City Council, as is.
Do we have a second?
I second that.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Moving on to item A2, discussion on time change for the Recreation and Park Commission meeting. And I turn the time to Andrea again.
We decided to throw this in for the commission to think a little bit about. We were looking at when we have our meetings, and Barbara did a great job of looking back and to see what the commission has done over the last, actually, 23 years. We've changed times, to try to increase participation and look how best that staff can participate as well. And I've provided to you, or actually Barbara has provided to you, a brief history of the days and the times. And we've really ranged. We've always liked Thursdays, but we've ranged anywhere from 7 p.m. to 5:30. In reviewing the statistics of our last 17 meetings, we've had a full commission sit only three times. What I'm hoping to do is have the commission review their meeting schedule and determine whether or not a different time would be more conducive. One of the things that staff is interested in is certainly the possibility of moving our meeting up in the day. That takes care of a couple of issues for us if it's workable to the commission. Number one, it means that we're going to be saving a little bit of funding for staff being here. Secondly, if other staff can come, it makes it more easily for them to come after their work day, even if the meeting was at 5 o'clock. And so we're certainly interested in that. I'm open for suggestions. Certainly, I feel that if the commission does...
I guess it would be depending on everybody's schedule. I think when I first joined the commission, whatever it was, 7 years ago or something, I think we were meeting at 5 or 5:30, weren't we? And I know we changed it back to 6 because of work schedules and stuff, but I mean... I know 5 would be tight, but I could probably make most of the meetings as everybody else's work schedule.
Yes.
Not as much as concern as our work schedules is possibly the public work schedules who may need to get here in a timely manner for any public hearings. Certainly we could move those back to the end of the agenda if we met earlier. But I think 6 o'clock... has been an opportune time for most of us. I'll ask Andrea if it's mandated that we meet 12 months a year. Could it be a bi-monthly meeting?
You know, I'd have to look. I know that when our, I think originally we were in, there was a time, number of times per year. I don't know. I'd have to look it through the material. I think it says monthly. We'll meet monthly. I mean, I think we certainly have the ability to cancel meetings. I think we're monthly.
I thought that we went back to 6 o'clock in hopes of getting more members of the public to come to our meetings. So I don't know what we want to do about that.
John, you have...
Me?
Joan, do you have some? Stan?
Well, I mean, we don't have large turnouts at these meetings anyway, and if we kept the public hearing items till the end of the agenda, which is basically where they have them, we have them now, if we could start at 5 and it would mean staff could go home earlier and we could still have public participation, I'd be for that. I mean, anytime's fine with me. We could do it early in the morning. Sorry, Andrea.
I think, generally speaking, we'll, us as a commission, we'll probably just work it out for our schedules, but it's most concerning for the public being able to participate.
Yeah. Another thing is I think it is a consideration what staff said about other staff being available if we want some questions answered if we're meeting when staff is here. I mean, not just recreation and parks staff, but the city attorney or the finance director or somebody else that we might need to come in and answer some questions. It would make it easier for them to be here if it was at 5 o'clock. I mean, they could stay and have dinner afterwards. But, like I say, I'm willing to go either way here.
How's the other commissioners feeling?
I have a question. Is this also brought on because of the budget situation that we don't want to keep staff? Is it something we would think of doing, you know, for 6 months? And because I know the Duke thing is coming up on Monday, something signed there, we have more funds.
That's an interesting question. Certainly, it's got some budget implications. They're not huge. You know, I'd love to say they're huge and we need to meet at 3:30, but that's, you know, that's just not so. I think it would certainly help budget-wise. A trial period might not be a bad idea.
I have a question, Andrea. Can you tell me how it would affect the office coverage?
Right now, our front desk person is no longer here, so each staff person covers the front desk during certain times, and so they have to flex their schedules, and if they're also required to be at a meeting, it makes it that much more difficult. Probably of all the reasons to move the meeting, the office coverage is the least, but it would certainly be helpful, especially if we're interested in having, for instance, our facility superintendent here to talk a little bit about facility issues, or sports supervisor, one of those people.
Okay, I'll just make a motion that we move it to 5 o'clock and see how it works out.
Do we want to do it for like
Let's do it for 6 months.
Or whatever. See how it works out.
Make a motion that we move it to 5 o'clock for 6 months.
Does that sound good to everyone? Okay. Any discussion? Do we have a second? Okay, do we have a second? I'm sorry, Greg.
Sure you do. Yeah,
okay.
A second.
Do we have discussion on the topic? Any other discussion? Me personally, I'm flexible with that to try it out to see how it works.
One other discussion point might be, would it make it any more difficult to recruit prospective commissioners to fill a vacancy? Would that put a little bit more of a bind in recruitment?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
No problem, Greg. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that passes.
So, Chair Smith, what we'll be doing is forwarding that to the City Council on their consent agenda.
Okay.
So we will hold off on actually implementation probably for a month.
Okay, not a problem. So next month, 6 o'clock most likely.
We're normal, yes.
Okay, I'll remember.
I'll read my agenda.
I'll be here an hour early, probably.
Right.
Okay, moving on to item A3, Recreation and Park Department Program Evaluation.
And we have none for you this evening.
Well, that's nice. Okay, moving on to unfinished business, item B1, further discussion on special events policy. And I turn the time over to Andrea again.
Thank you, Dave. As the commission will recall, we agendized this originally last month, where we gave you some information to look at, and staff is bringing back to you this evening a draft special event policy. Each year, the City of Morro Bay receives a number of applications for special events to be held on city-owned property. While the city currently has a permit process in place, we believe that a specific policy on special events may be helpful to both the city and to the applicant. At our October meeting, we talked a little bit about the Pismo Beach special event ordinance, and I know that most of you took a look at that on the internet. It was rather lengthy, and we, again, have brought a draft back to you this evening. We've reviewed a number of ordinances and policies from other cities in regard to special events, and as a result, we've drafted a policy for the commissioner's review and comment. We tried to concentrate, and I believe that Commissioner House brought this up at our last meeting, we tried to concentrate on the problems that have occurred with the special events that have been held in Morro Bay and address those issues through this policy. As stated in the policy, the city will continue with our public area use permits, which are for smaller events, and then request an addendum or an additional page of information for those events that will now be considered special events. After a general consensus with the content of the special event policy, either after this meeting or after our next meeting, we'll be working then on a form or a checklist for the applicant to ease through the application process, and we'll be bringing that also back to you. So tonight we're looking really at the words, and then we'll be looking at the form following the commission's review of content. So we anticipate to bring this back to you at least for one more meeting. I've attached the draft special event policy, and I wanted to go through that just briefly with you. First, we talked a little bit about a definition of a special event. And through looking at different policies, we've come up with a special event is defined as a non-routine happening or social activity bringing a large number of people together in a defined area or on a contiguous to a city street, sidewalk, right-of-way, or other public area. We also added that events on private property, which are likely to obstruct, delay, or interfere with the normal flow of pedestrian or vehicular traffic, which require city services to ensure safety and coordination, may be considered special events. Special events are not limited, include but are not limited to the following: festivals, concerts, sporting events, parades, walks, and runs. Then we looked at types of special events, and we tried to divide it really into two areas. Our current public area use permit, which is currently used for reservations that are contained within a public park that don't block streets and do not require other city department resources. Generally, the cost of city services for a public area use permit will be less than $1,000. Typical events of this nature include art in the park, birthday parties and barbecues, bounce house events, those types of things. So really what we're saying through this is that the permit process for those types of events will not change. It will remain the same. Then we've added a second type of special event, and it's the special event permit. And that will be some sort of addendum used in conjunction with the public area use permit form, which has a lot of information that's important. And that will be used for events that are one day or more in length and require city services, staff, and equipment, police, fire, harbor, other departments. Cost for city services for a special event permit will typically exceed $1,000. Looking at general policies for special events, we are currently looking at permit applications and all backup documentation, which we've listed below, to be submitted at least 90 days in advance of the event, but no more than 1 year. Also, in some policies, there was a notation, which I think we should include, but it's not written here, that we will certainly try to process or do the best we can process applications that are less than 90 days in advance, but preferable 90 days in advance to turn in a special event permit. Then we talk a little bit about backup documentation that we're looking for when the permit is turned in. One is liability insurance, and I've given you the attached specifications which the city currently uses for liability insurance. I think that we need to note that the liability insurance must be provided by the organization or individual that's completed the permit and has control and authority over the event. Also, we would want the liability insurance or proof of liability insurance to be submitted with the permit 90 days in advance. However, if the liability insurance is not submitted at that time and not submitted up to 14 days prior to the event, then the applicant will be required to purchase liability insurance through the company that the city works for. I mean, we've had a number of events that we've gotten down to the last days, in fact, a few the last hours, in order to confirm the liability insurance. We would also like an event site map, a map of the site indicating the following. And we're feeling that the more information that's provided on the site map, the better and the easier it is for the other city departments to look at the special event and determine what the conditions of approval will be. Such things as the event setup diagram, location of any alcohol, location of portable toilets, location of stages and the direction of sound that the music or the amplification will go, any advertising banners and electrical outlets needed. Typically, the outlets in parks and along the streets are pretty limited, so that's important information. The other thing we're looking for is a traffic plan, a map of the surrounding streets indicating street closure, barricade placement, and staffing. The traffic plan is reviewed by the city, and amendments may be made prior to the permit approval. Setup and breakdown schedule, really important for more than events that are more than 1 day in length. So if the event is from 10 to 6, for 2 days, when will the setup and when will the breakdown take place, so the city will know when the streets will be back opened up. And then noticing, in the case of street closure, that all affected must be notified of the event and associated disruptions at least 30 days prior to the event. And the city needs to see some sort of notification the proof of notification. The permit approval procedure, we're currently doing, this is a procedure that is currently happening for the most part. Once a permit application is submitted, including all the supporting documentations, that's distributed to each city department head. Then that city department head is asked to assign conditions of approval for the permit in their area of expertise, including an estimate of the cost of city services. So, for instance, if two firefighters and one police officer are needed in addition to equipment, we're asking that department head to put all that information submit all that information. That information comes back to me, and I gather that information in a letter and send that to the applicant. So the letter includes the conditions of approval as well as the cost of city services, or the anticipated cost of city services. After the applicant has sent is sent that information, we generally, in the case of a special event, would like to meet with the event coordinator. And the meeting will consist of, at a minimum, a representative from each affected department. So if the finance department is not affected, the finance director doesn't need to be there, and as well as the applicant. And the purpose of that meeting is to really go over the conditions of approval, go over the costs, see if there's anything that, for instance, if the event coordinator wants to post the street closure rather than the city, then there's some cost savings there. So really a meeting to go over all the information and make any final determinations regarding the event. After that meeting, the event should be pretty much cemented. What we've included in this draft policy is that if additional meetings are needed, then those additional meetings with department heads would be at the cost to the cost of the applicant. Also, we in this permit are asking that the applicant refrain from meeting with individual departments or city staff, and that way the information or dissemination of information is consistent and everybody knows what everybody else is doing. In terms of event payment for city services, what we're looking for is the permit fee, the use fee, and the deposit. Upon receipt of the public area use permit and the special event addendum and conditions of approval, the applicant shall submit a check to the city for the permit fee and the use fee. Those are static fees. They're not going to change. The applicant also submits a separate and undated deposit check. That is similar to what's happening now. The monetary amount, the applicant knows the monetary amounts of those prior to the event. Then the fees for city services and staffing will be paid following the event, and that's because we're looking at, initially we put on an estimate of what we think the cost will be, but after the event is concluded, then the department heads are again asked to provide actual costs. In some cases, hopefully in most cases, the fees will be less. If there was more required to do, then the fees might be more than actually estimated. And there will be an invoice process to the applicant after the event for payment of the city fees and services. We've added on number C, following the event, should the applicant have not abided by the conditions of approval, the deposit check will be forfeited as a penalty. That's fairly common in most special event policies, and we think it's important because the conditions of approval are important to be followed and put there for a reason, generally health and safety of the city. And then we added a section on grounds for denial. I'm thinking back on all the public area use permits that we've ever had, and I think that only one has ever been denied, and it was some time ago. But we thought it was important maybe to include a couple of reasons for possible denial, and those would include it be that the application wasn't fully completed, the applicant has not paid the permit fee, the application contains misrepresentation. And then the last one, the applicant is not a representative of the group for whom the permit was requested, which sounds kind of odd, but those kinds of things certainly could happen. We've tried to be as succinct as possible. I double-spaced this document, but when you undouble-space it, it's actually a page and a half, which we were shooting for something short and concise. I think with that, I would remind you that this is a draft document. We're really looking for your input. We're happy to bring it back to you once again. We're going to be bringing back a form anyway. So at this point, I'm close it down and be happy to answer questions.
Questions for Andrea.
I got a couple of questions. The deposit fee, what is that based upon?
The current deposit that we have is $150 for a public area use permit for any event, or $500 if you're having alcohol or live music. And it's been that what it's based on, I can't tell you. It's been those amounts for probably 15 years.
Okay. And one other question, and I think I know the answer to this one, but before, was this thing sent out to any of the groups that do special events and have been doing annual special events?
Not yet.
Okay. Because I think that would be a good thing before the next meeting to have people come and give their comments on whether or not they have any, think it's great, or they think there's something wrong with it.
That's an excellent idea.
Any other comments, questions? Johnny.
I read the, I went through the Pismo Beach policy. It's pretty lengthy. And to tell you the truth, the way staff has drafted this one, and with it referring to, I guess there's going to be a checklist and a form to refer to, which probably be some of this, I would imagine.
We'll continue to use that form, mm-hmm. and then add an additional form that asks you for things like site map and traffic control. That's our thought at this point.
Right, because in between that, what staff has drafted and this, it covers pretty much of what Pismo had in a much smaller form. So
that's
it's really
good.
Very good. And there's not really much more to add. I mean, I did have a couple of items to add. I did type them up. You guys want to share them?
Thank you. But
just to add, and if you staff thought they would fit in there, then good. If not, then we can file them. The first one is on general policies, number 3. To be added, like, for example, F after E would be prior authorization from the city manager is required for an event applicant unless merely reflecting the location of its event to use the words the City of Morro Bay or City of Morro Bay or similar designations or to use a facsimile of the seal of the City of Morro Bay and the title of the special event. I went through this other to the public use area permit, and it's not in there. So, I mean, I'm sure it would be, I mean, since it hasn't been there, I mean, I'm sure it would still be okay, but it's just an item that I've seen in Pismo's that might want to consider. And the next one to add to general policies is G, which is no date shall be considered confirmed until a special event permit is issued. And, of course, that's just basic knowledge. Of course, if it's not issued, then, you know, it's not okay. But at least it's there in writing. Spells it out a little better. The other one is Category 6, grounds for denial, to add Item E. The event has previously been shown to have resulted in violent disorder conduct by the participants that endangered public safety or to have resulted in significant property damage. And item F, the event will violate public health or safety laws. So like I say, I mean, it's, the big events have been going on without those, but something to consider if you wanted to add in addition.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. I like them personally. Any other questions, comments, input?
I think the way I see it, I mean, it's a lot shorter. It's simple.
Yep.
Once we get the wording down, it's going to be a lot better. People will understand what they need to do. Staff will understand what they need to do. As far as Johnny's changes here, I think the grounds for denial are great. I think G is great. F, the new F he has, the City of Morro Bay or the City of Morro Bay, I'm not quite sure.
If I can jump in, well, I think the thought behind that, and it's interesting because I've seen it also, I believe in the City of San Luis, is the thought is that if you have the City of Morro Bay rave,
right,
then residents, the individuals that are coming out from somewhere else might think that the City of Morro Bay, the city, is actually sponsoring
exactly.
a rave.
Yeah, and that's I can
exactly
understand
so.
That, but
I mean, the events have been going on without it. I
right, I'm
like
just
that,
trying
but,
to figure out,
you know,
enforcing it might be a problem unless it says sponsored by the City of Morro Bay. I can see that.
Exactly.
I don't see how you're going to enforce something like that.
It's kind of interesting, just as an aside, in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 months, we've had a couple of different requests. For instance, we have a request or we have a pending request in for an adventure race in Morro Bay. We had another request a couple of months ago for a concert, which always is intriguing because I'm not sure really what that means sometimes, that would encompass the entire Rock parking lot. So it seems to me that in the last few, if not the last 6 months, we've had some interesting requests. Now, they haven't they haven't turned in any formal paper requests yet, but who knows? So we may have some new events coming to Morro Bay.
So what are you saying?
Well,
are you for it or against it?
I think F is important because I think that it would be important if it's a City of Morro Bay event. If it's not a City of Morro Bay event, then it shouldn't have those words unless it's accepted by somebody, city manager or their designee.
Right, but I mean, so all you're going to be able to stop them doing is saying it's sponsored by the City of Morro Bay or something like that. I mean, if you're having a jazz festival, this City of Morro Bay Jazz Festival.
Right. You could say Morro Bay Jazz Festival, but could you say City of Morro Bay Jazz Festival?
Well, I don't know. I think that's kind of a
fine line, but it's just to clarify a little whether it's just in Morro Bay or if the City of Morro Bay is putting it on.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to enforce it, but I can see that you don't want people to think you're sponsoring something you're not. But for something like that, I can see how it might be good for the City of Morro Bay to have City of Morro Bay Jazz Festival or City of Morro Bay, first annual City of Morro Bay. And people don't assume that the city's actually throwing the jazz festival, I don't think.
Well, I think if an application came through, in terms of enforcement, I think if an application came through, you could just simply say it can certainly be the Morro Bay Jazz Festival, but it cannot be the City of Morro Bay Jazz mm-hmm. Festival unless it's co-sponsored or sponsored by the City of Morro Bay.
Could be the Morro Bay Jazz Festival in the City of Morro Bay. Right? You couldn't stop that.
No, you could not.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions, or deep thoughts?
I have, Joan.
Yes, Joan.
A comment. I like what you've added. I think that that would be good. The only thing that I would look at is under three general policies, you go to B, event sitemap, and it lists everything, but it doesn't list where public parking will be. And that is a huge issue in this city. For example, if they close off the entire Rock parking lot for seating, where will the people park? And I think public parking would be a consideration.
Wouldn't that be part of your traffic control plan?
It might be, but you could certainly list it under mm-hmm. under B.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, because it's also referenced to on the application.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Joan. Any other input?
Nope.
I would like to bring this back to the next meeting if possible. Do we need a motion to accept this or?
No, not yet. We'll just bring it back. And between then and now, we'll let the major special events know that it's on our agenda.
Okay.
As a draft policy. We'll continue as a draft.
Maybe make it a public hearing next time.
Oh, that would be fun.
Well, it's a way to get input. Because I think we had someone in the audience that wanted to speak, but
he could have spoken at public comment period.
Missed his chance.
Right.
Does he know that? Any other input on this before we move on to the next item? Okay. On to item C, written communications, C1, citizen reports.
Would be two.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Slow down.
Whoa. Okay. Thank you. Almost missed that. Item B2, Recreation and Park Department status report.
We've got a quick status report for you this evening. A few updates just to let you know. The teen center hours continue to be the fall hours. We have having great participation in the morning for Morro Bay High School students. We are between 65 and 80 students every Monday morning when the students get to school early, but the majority of them do not have class. We have completed the reimbursement paperwork for the Rock restroom. We've submitted a request to the state in the amount of $178,000 that we hope to get back very soon. We do not, excuse me, I do not have a most recent printout of the assessment district for Cloisters, but we will bring that to your next meeting. We are currently working on reimbursement for the skate park project for submission to the state. We used approximately $30,000 of per capita grant funding for that project, and we look forward to getting that back. I'm happy to tell you that the staffing issues for the Youth Services Division have increased, have gotten a little bit better. We've ended up in the past 4 weeks hiring two additional qualified staff people for the Kids Club program. They've got their early childhood education units, and they've been great additions to the program. So that's good. Our skate park is currently staffed appropriately, but we are still severely understaffed at the teen center and looking for staff people there. We are very, very close to having the web guide, the TIDES web guide, almost available. Heather, our youth services supervisor, has been working on that. She's almost done. She's got a couple more pictures, and so we'll let you know when we go live for that. And it should be a great document. We have had, I would say, numerous requests about the TIDES publication and where is it and why we're not doing it any longer. And as the commissioner is aware, that's something that got taken out when our budget was reduced. But we're hoping to get some positive comments from the web guide that we're going to be putting out. We are close to finalizing our display for the solar project on the roof, and I would like to draw your attention to the attachments of the staff report. We are we started generating energy from the solar panels in January of this year, but our software, we had a very difficult time getting the appropriate software to measure what we were doing, and that came online as of June, the end of June. What we've attached for your staff report, which I find very interesting, is four monthly reports, July, August, September, and October. And what you see there are a couple of graphs. You see one that talks about the daily generation of electricity. Put this on the overhead if you want, just as an example. The first graph looks at the daily generation and when you're generating most of your energy. As you can see, it, for the most part, it's in the middle of the day. Interestingly, almost every generation that we have looks like Morro Rock in some different way, because you start about 8 a.m. and you peak about 2 o'clock. And then the bottom section of that printout gives you kilowatt hours of production per day. So, for instance, if you're looking, I'm looking now at the month of September, and you can look at the days in September, and you can really tell which days were foggy and cloudy and which days were very sunny. And we've got that printout now on a monthly basis. If you look at the October printout, if you remember anything about October, you recall that we had a number of pretty foggy days. So it's interesting information, and we're I don't have final numbers of what we've generated to date. Unfortunately, our meter is not running backwards. We're not doing that well. But we are certainly generating some significant electricity, and we'll be taking this to the City Council for them to take a look at and see what we're doing. I think up there now is the month of July. And, again, this summer, the month of July was pretty foggy. You can see that a few days were pretty dismal there in the middle of the month.
That's August.
Oh, August. Yeah, July was bad, too. but anyway, it's interesting information, and these are the printouts that we're getting from our software now, and we'll continue to provide this information to you. And then at the end of the year, we'll be getting some information about how much total we generated and what we offset in terms of our bill. We are looking, our estimate now is about a third, between 25% and 33%. So that's it's certainly a great step in the right direction from our solar panels. I'll continue on with the status report. Just a couple more things. The Morro Bay Community Foundation will be sending out information for donations. We call it our Secret Santa request, and we typically generate between $1,500 and $2,500 from that. Our youth basketball program is currently in the process of registration. We will begin in December with games in January for 3rd through 8th graders. And we did, I have not moved ahead. We had a commissioner request some information about the Morro Elementary School property and what the long-term plans for that property are, and we have not contacted the school district, so we'll be bringing that information back to you at your next meeting in December. And I apologize for that. That concludes status and what we're doing. I'm happy to answer questions if you have them.
Any questions for Andrea?
Have we seen any drop in certain programs since the TIDES isn't being published?
Our overall participation is down a little bit currently, and I don't know if that's particularly because of the tides. It might be a combination because of the tides and because some of our costs went up. But at this point, I can't, you know, we can't pinpoint. We have had, though, numerous comments about, you know, we don't have access to the information. So we're hoping once we get our web guide up, then I'm hoping to see those comments decrease. But we don't know that.
Yeah, I kind of worry about people who don't have a computer.
Right.
And you're punishing the people that would participate in the programs the most.
Yeah. The other thing that we're going to be bringing back to you in December is that we are going to be moving from one registration program to a different registration program. Our current registration program, I think we've had for 15 years, and believe it or not, it's no longer supported. So we'll be moving to a registration program where online registration is possible, and it looks like what we'll be doing, it's possible, not the only thing you can do, but possible, and it looks like what we'll be trying to do is putting a computer station at our front desk, and we may be able to try to tie that in so people can actually access our web guide on our front desk registration system, and so that will be helpful. But we're certainly, if our funding comes back up eventually, the tides is something that we want to start doing again because it's an important piece of marketing.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept this for file.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Leave a motion. Did you get that? Dang, you're good. Okay, now moving on to the next item, I hope. Written communication, item C1, citizens reports and correspondence.
We had a couple in the last month. Particular, we just like to keep this information. These citizens report forms can be used for compliments, but they're usually used for complaints or suggestions. We did have a concern about the bark that we have in the playgrounds. You'll remember we have sand in the surfacing of some of our playgrounds, and now the newest requirement, I guess, is manufactured bark, and we've had now two complaints about the bark causing splinters. So we're just monitoring that at this point. The bark is used so the playground will be comply with the ADA, American with Disabilities Act. So it's kind of an interesting conundrum as to what you're going to be putting on your playground surfacing. We haven't had a lot of complaints, but we've had two at this point, and that's been documented. And then the second complaint we had, and it's something that we're seeing more and more, are unleashed dogs in parks. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be a concern. It's a continual concern. When our park staff is out and they see...
Did you want to go over Robert Davis or make mention of
that? Oh, I apologize. Yes, you do have the last, the report from the Citizens Bike Committee in front of you.
Any questions, comments, discussion, input, any of the above, all of the above? If not, I'll entertain another motion to accept this information for file.
I move that we accept this information for file.
Second.
We have a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Moving along to reports, I'll turn the time over to Andrea for the youth services, sports and fitness summary, facility and park use summaries.
I don't have anything in particular to point out on these participation reports. I'm happy to answer questions if you have. You will note, as we indicated earlier, there is a slight decrease in participation pretty much across the board in our divisions. Some programs are up, some programs are down. And we'll continue to monitor that to see if that's a trend for this year. Other than that, I don't have any comments, but I am happy to answer questions.
Any questions for Andrea or comments on the information? If not, John, do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to accept reports D1, 2, and 3 for file.
Second.
Seconded by Stan. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? None. Moving quite along to D4, I turn the time over to Leba with the senior representative report.
Nothing that much to report except that the seniors did appoint a subcommittee to work with the department on, it's not the MOU.
Expires in 2010. It was originally a 20-year agreement, and we are going to be meeting with the ad hoc committee and some representatives from the city to start talking about renewing agreements.
I think they feel more comfortable that they're not going to be thrown out.
Good.
Anything else, Leba?
No.
Any questions for Leba? Okay.
When do those negotiations start?
No date has been set at this point.
Because didn't I think this was mentioned at the last meeting, wasn't it?
That we were going to start and go. Right. Yeah, we staff went to the last senior board meeting, two senior board meetings ago, and then this last senior board meeting, the seniors appointed a couple of individuals. So we've got a little bit of time.
Yeah. So they'll probably feel better, Leba, when the negotiations actually start, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's our thought also.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next item, commissioner reports. Any reports from the commissioners?
Nope.
Okay. There is no public hearing items. Are there any declarations for future agenda items from any of the commissioners?
I'd like to just, I think Andrea already covered it, the property next door. That will be a future agenda item.
At least information on the status report about what the district says, and we can go from there.
Anything else for any future agenda items? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting if you want. If not, we can stay here.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.